Ohio football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown, and he throws an awesome block so his teammate can score instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you another chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scorer scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. Everyone knows the most exciting part of football is the score. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you have a chance to keep the fun going even after the first player crosses the goal line. Plus, you can enjoy second chance all season long. Place a first TD scorer wager today. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. And sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/redcircle.
Hey, what's going on, friends? My podcast every day is broken up into two parts on the free platform. The first part, Act One, is right now. When it's all done, go right on over to Act Two to get the second half of the podcast. Thank you so much for checking out my show. Oh, hello, hello. Welcome in, my gosh. Welcome into the Eric Zane Show podcast. A daily show where I discuss news, nonsense, and my personal adventures. Thank you so much for being here. Welcome. Yesterday I had a interaction out of the blue. One of those deals. Recently I went ahead and you know, like you're on Facebook and it shows you like people that you may know. Well, I saw a name from the past that I hadn't seen in forever. It's a kid I grew up with in the city of Warren. Kid. He's like my age. So I did the old friend request. This dude named Pat. Now, all I really remember about Pat is, well, one thing in particular, I'll talk about that in a second, but probably one of the friendliest people on the planet. And whenever that happens, whenever like I cross paths with someone like this in this particular way, I'm always like, well, why didn't I stay pals with this person? I mean, I'm like that with a lot of people. Well, why didn't I stay in contact with so and so? So then he reaches out, and this surprised the hell out of me. Because honestly, all I remember about him was he had a brother who was kind of like a badass. I think he went into the military. His name was Sean. I remember his mother. I remember his dad a little bit. I remember we used to play a lot of baseball and shit like that. We were always playing sports when we were growing up in the neighborhood. And he always had the best fucking video games. Like, he had the best Atari games. We'd be like, oh, fuck. Look at all these goddamn fucking video games. Fast forward, I have no memory as we kind of got older. He reaches out to me after I sent him the friend request. And this really caught me off guard. EZ, you are the best. I catch the podcast as often as I can. I'm like, what? You do? He says, Kirk Matlock says, hi. I played Kirk the scavenger hunt podcast from the other day. He was cracking up. Okay. Now, this is big for me because I did not know, or at least maybe I forgot, that Pat hung out with my pal Kirk Matlock, pal from back in the day. Kirk was outstanding. This was one of the just one of the guys that I ran with. And this just fucking floored me. Now, Kirk, he was one of these guys who I remember right when he was about to turn 40, he decided to go to war. We were fighting in Iraq, and he just one day enlisted into the army. I'll never forget that. I was like, what? Huh? He was always kind of like a badass, but that probably was the greatest thing I'd ever heard at the time. I was like, well, that totally makes sense. I mean, he's like got the power of 10 men. He said, I wrote, no shit, that is so cool that you catch a podcast from time to time. So then I asked him a bunch of questions, and then I asked him one particular question. Do you remember that time when I hit you with that golf ball? Now, I've told this story on the podcast. We were in the backyard of my pal Matt's house. And then we went over into the school and we're like hitting golf balls, having a good time. And out of the blue, he says, hey, I got to go. We're probably like 12 years old. And he's like in front of me. Like if I were shooting a golf ball, I'd be shooting it towards him. And so he goes, retrieves a golf ball, and he comes back. He goes, hey, I got to go. Now, the clubs were his. He goes, don't, the clubs and the balls. He goes, don't shoot anymore. I've got to go. So I tee the fucking thing up. And I'm ready to hit it. And he goes, don't. And he's closing in on me. Like he's walking towards me. Like 50 feet, 40 feet, 30 feet. And he goes, seriously, don't. Don't do it. Don't do it. I don't want to go get it. And he gets to about 20 feet, 10 feet. And I hit it. I hit it as hard as I fucking could with a, I don't know, fucking 5-iron. And amazingly, he turned around. And it's a goddamn, it was all defense. He turned around and it hit him right in the back of the leg. Now, the shot that I hit, there was like a vapor trail behind it. It was like a Happy Gilmore shot. One of the most incredible golf shots you will ever see went flying, making like that type of noise. And as soon as it hit, oh my God. And he goes down like a ton of bricks. And I'm like, oh fuck. It was such a devastating shot that it actually broke the skin on the back of his thigh. Immediately, this welt, like you wouldn't believe, it was like he got shot. Oh my God, that poor son of a bitch. So when I asked him, do you remember the time when I hit you with the golf ball? He says, oh my God, I so do. I had a bullseye on my upper thigh, the back of it. Good thing I turned or else that would be dickless today, LOL. Let's see. Then he starts talking about a bunch of people that we grew up with. I have a memory of you. We were when we would walk to school. It would be me, you, and Matt. Matt was the guy who I told you about who had a stutter. In fact, he still does. And my dad was the one who was like mean to Matt. It was fucking cruel. Matt's like in second grade, and him and I are playing Tonka trucks, and he stutters, and my dad gets in his face, goes, learn to talk, or some shit like that. I was like, what the fuck? So inappropriate. Pat writes, I still remember when Schmitty bought that Men at Work shirt when that song Down Under was popular. Eric, typical Eric, said, Schmitty, shouldn't your shirt say Men at Lunch? Because Matt was a little porky back in the day. So he remembered one particular insult that I said to the kid. Men at work. Smitty, shouldn't your shirt say men at lunch? Oh, no. He says, I don't remember what I had for lunch, but I remember every memory. We had a blessed childhood back then. Different street, down the street, we had different cultures, but we all hung out sometimes in different pockets, but everyone was great back then. I'm glad to see you're doing well. He says, I love listening to the shows when I can, even... he says, I'm not from GR, but it's still cool. So that was really nice. It made me feel good. And then, so he wants to get together with a reunion. He mentions my neighbor that lived between Matt's house and my house. So I lived in one house, and then the kid who wore the Men at Work shirt, Matt, who had the stutter, he's two doors down. In between are the Goldmans. The Goldmans were insane. Mrs. Goldman with her shit lawn, and every time our ball went over there, she came out stabbing and trying to kill us before we got the ball. True story. Imagine living in a neighborhood where your neighbor, if your ball, it's perfect because it was like our very own version of the Beast from Sandlot, where... Oddly enough, James Earl Jones starred in that film, and he passed yesterday. We celebrate his life today, but we had our very own Sandlot. Hang on, I gotta drink this. The ball would go on their lawn, and they'd take it. And one particular moment, I remember a soccer ball went on there. And my brother Jim went over there to get it. And Mr. Goldman came out. And he had a fucking knife. And he tries to fucking stab the ball. And my brother Jim pulls the ball away at the last minute. And Mr. Goldman, it was right after my dad had a heart attack. He goes, no wonder why your dad, your old man had a heart attack. You kids were there. And my brother Jim starts crying. Fuck. That was like normal back then. The neighbor to try to. Come out wielding a knife. Why not? I never forget it because these people, the Goldmans, every kid that went to our school knew about them and had them in the crosshairs. We're going to harass because we hated them because they were such assholes. Someone opened up their mailbox on the house and put a goddamn M80 in the mailbox. I'll never forget my room lighting up and then the explosion. And you hear the mailbox hitting the ground because some fucker blew it off the house. Jesus. City of Warren. Pat also wrote this. We're talking about the Lions. He says, yeah, we've come a long way from Gary Danielson and Eric Hipple. He also writes, it was great to hear your dad on that podcast. Dear Meathead. I said, yeah, he's 90s. He's kind of slowing down, though. Then he wrote this. I remember one time. First of all, he says, we should come to a road trip. I think the last time I saw you was when Kirk Madlock, Jim Bellini, and myself, he writes, we're right in the house in Ferndale. I don't know what that means. At Kirk's house, maybe? Some dump, and you stopped by, and we went up to Snookers. You and I, now I don't know what the fuck he's talking about. This was all like reading something from an out-of-body experience. I have no memory of this. We went to Snookers. You and I went to play some pool, and they served us some warm beer. And I remember you saying to the waitress, thanks. Hey, I bet you could use a warm one. This is incredible. I don't know how he remembers this shit. Then I told him about my dad being a little bit under the weather, you know, with the dementia and all. And he wrote, "Hey, I can't really remember the good times for sure. Sometimes I remember the bad times." But then he writes, "But I try to block those out. I call those my age 32 to 47. Life is great now, though." So I didn't ask. I didn't ask what happened 32 to 47. Well, that's a long ass time. That's 15 years. So I don't know. So that is a legendary person from the city of Warren, my pal Pat. Well, I've got to get together with those guys. I don't have a lot of interactions with people from that era. You know, even Jeffrey, the guy I gave the kidney to. I mean, we communicate via text and chit-chat. I'll probably go see him in a couple years here. This coming winter, I'll probably go and see him again. But, yeah, I don't have a ton of experiences with people that I grew up with. In fact, I don't have a lot of experiences with people in general. I find myself as I get older to be increasingly more of a loner, probably because the day-to-day job is such an extroverted thing. I don't know. Welcome in to each and every one of you. I appreciate all of you checking out the show. This studio is sponsored by my friends at Impact Power Sports. Online at impactpowersports.com. What a great group over there. If you need an ATV, UTV, side-by-side, motorcycle, e-bike. Everybody's got e-bikes, it seems. Not to mention scooters. Or perhaps zero-turn radius lawnmower, Yamaha golf cart. They got all that stuff at Impact Power Sports. Go to their showroom in beautiful Rockford, Michigan, along 14 Mile Road, and check it out for yourself. Impact Power Sports online at impactpowersportsmi.com. They are a great sponsor, and I'm very, very appreciative of them. Okay. So glad that you're all here. EZ wins week one of fantasy football. I'll take that. My kicker is a guy from the San Francisco 49ers. My kickers don't get a ton of points. Sometimes they can. My kicker had the most points of my whole team. He kicked 6 field goals last night. Holy shit. Got some info from Ben Glaze about this week's Who Are These Free Beers? First, he sent me a screenshot that our pals on Free Beer and Hot Wings did a segment. If you could Freaky Friday with anyone, with any show member, who would you choose? So I think I know what that means. The plot of Freaky Friday is people like change bodies or whatever the fuck. Like mom becomes a daughter, daughter becomes, I don't know. So I guess people would call up and say, yeah, free beer. Or yeah, hot wings. So that was the segment. Then he said, EZ, they did 2 segments of guessing the top 50 cereals of all time. He adds, I will cover this week if it's worth pulling. Are you going to do the segment about which show member is the nicest? Well, here's the thing. When you read a Free Beer and Hot Wings show rundown, when it says the audience calls up and tells us which audience member is the nicest, I mean, when you read that, it sounds ridiculous. But, yeah, I mean, it might actually be entertaining. So I can't say for sure. I always have to listen first. I will tell you this, that on yesterday's show, they like to get like material that'll say something like 1920s dating advice or something like that. And then they'll read it and it gives them an opportunity to riff or kind of improv on the material and crack jokes. And that's not really their strong suit. So most of what happens particularly falls particularly flat. And especially when they have something that's really old like that, the go-to is to kind of go into old-timey radio voice. And that's what happened yesterday. It was It was a 1914 guide to teachers. So, one thing, there was a lot there to pick on, but one thing in particular that I'm going to focus on was a free beer bummer joke. Because a lot of the things that they were saying, they were attempting to be funny, and there was a lot of just silence after it. So, of course, I'll take a completely objective approach on it and play my segments from a portion of that, plus a whole lot more. Bob, who listened, said that the cereal bit started stupid, but the second half of it did have me laughing. Well, that's good. Because we need laughter. You know, people who accuse me of riding coattails, which happens all the time. Look, if this show were any good, do you think I would be I would have the ability to do Who Are These Freebeers? No, I can't play good material and say it's a pile of shit. I mean, what the fuck? I don't have enough skill to be able to take something that's actually good and interesting and somehow shine a light on it and say, oh, yeah, this is bad, and convince you otherwise. That's too much fucking work. I can't do that. I would rather have them do all of the heavy lifting. And for 25 episodes, they have, and I'm very thankful for that. If it were to end today, that'd be fine. Because, first of all, one less thing to do. And second of all, I mean, if there's nothing there, then I can't do a show. All right. So that comes up on a Big Fraud Thursday. Right here on Patreon, patreon.com/Eric Zane. You can sign up for free for 7 days if you like. patreon.com/Eric Zane. All right. So that is Thursday, starting at around 6 p.m. Eastern. Bob says, only because the rulemaking at one point, everyone had to do the German accent. Okay, good. Excellent. Chris Denham is here. What's up, Chris D? I love you. Good to see you, buddy. Joe Martinez is here. He is still suggesting, he's still doing that whole Michigan, we bow to no one. Michigan after that loss to Texas. Interestingly, there was a player from Texas who, after that game that Texas massacred Michigan, he ran onto the field with the Texas flag and buried the flag in the block M. So I don't know about bowing to anybody, but you sure had to eat a lot of shit when Texas came in and did that. You can't like that. You cannot like that. Joe is suggesting that it wasn't a massacre. That was not a close game. So you can call it whatever you like, but it was a pretty big beatdown. So I think Michigan will have bowed to Texas. Anyway, Michigan will take on some school from Arkansas this weekend. In addition, Michigan State is going to play some school that I don't know where they're from. IMKO says that Michigan had 80 yards on 23 runs. So he's suggesting that, he says, they got fucking smoked, dude. Joe says, no, again, we bow to no one and no man. Chris says, is bowing the same as getting bent over? There's more than one person that's suggesting that. Linda says, Michigan didn't bow. They bent over and took it. Linda is suggesting that Michigan took it in the butthole. Now, I don't know about that. But we can only hope, just for the sake of this show, that whatever school they're playing on Saturday upsets Michigan. Because if that happens, our boy Joe, there's no way he could be come in here and say that they bow to no one. Tyler writes, mild Michigan fan here. They look like a pile of shit that entire game, LOL. All right. Well, I'm excited about the football. Joe Martinez also, he hates the Lions. And I don't know where that comes from. I mean, I at least know when he's a Michigan fan. I mean, why you would not like Michigan State or Ohio State or have that whole attitude of arrogance that typical Michigan fans have. But I don't understand the contempt for the Lions. You know, either you've hated them your whole life and you root for another pro team, or you're one of these, well, they were bad in the past, so now I'm never going to get over it. That's a regular thing with some people in Michigan. They have this brain damage from years of frustration. And I actually understand, you know, some people who are a little bit weak in the brain just don't actually, can't like get past the fact that they were terrible for a long, long time. You know, they just never get over it. And now I can't say for sure that that's what's going on with Joe. But all I know is that he does not like the Lions. He hates them. He can't stand Dan Campbell. And the thing about Dan Campbell is he seems to be like the most optimistic, polite, congenial coach you could possibly find. I don't understand why that guy would. There was a clip that Chris sent to me of Dan Campbell's press conference that I should probably play from that most recent game. What I like about Dan Campbell is he's always quick to say, "Hey, that kind of sucked, but we won." You know, I always found that to be appealing. All right, give me a second here. I'm fucking this up. Of course. All right, it's Dan Campbell.
That team gave us everything. A win is a win. That team gave us everything they had, man. They did. They threw it at us, man, and give them some credit.
All right, now what he just said there. Everything there, I mean, that's a very appropriate thing to say. He's giving compliments to the Rams. So I don't understand why that could be taken poorly.
They did, man. They laid it on the line all the way. But the bottom line is, man, it's hard to break us now. It's hard to break us. As a matter of fact, you ain't going to do it. And we just had to buy our time, find our rhythm. Defense, we held. Fox, what an outstanding freaking punt to help.
Okay, when your coach is pointing out the punter's punt, what the fuck?
Fox, what an outstanding freaking punt to help our defense. And offense, we do what we got to do to get in overtime. And then we win the toss. Golf, nice job. We go all the way down. That's a damn good win. That's number one. We're 1-0 right now. I got two game balls.
How could you not enjoy this? How could what he's saying not like resonate with anyone?
First one is this, man. You talk about closing out the game. And I said it the other day. Somebody asked me, I said, man, you can start the game with this guy and you can finish it with him. And anything in between on offense, Dave Montgomery.
All right, now that's the guy who in overtime they'd hand it off to him and he'd hit the line of scrimmage and the players would like break like bowling pins or go flying like bowling pins. There was a viral video of David Montgomery deadlifting 700 pounds. Look at that dude. I love that guy. They're like, make a speech.
Nah, look. I'm saying we was in that fighting for a while, man, and it was ugly for a little minute. Before the game, Ben said that it sure enough ain't going to be our best game. It ain't going to be the perfect game, but shit, we finished it together as a team.
Defense, man. This guy was all over the freaking field.
I love this shit so much.
Man, play after play after play in the pass game, the run game, Alex Anzalone.
Yeah. Hey, this is just one win. I look at it every year. I just look at it a quarter at a time, four games at a time. Just go 3-1, 4-0 each quarter. It's a long-ass season. This is just one. Keep it going.
Damn good win, gentlemen. That's the good news. When you don't play your best ball and you still find a way to win, because we'll clean the rest of this up, right? And we'll be better. I don't care whether we won or lost this game. I was going to tell you the same thing. We got to get better every week. Just a little bit better next week, and we'll be good. All right, great win, man. Great win because it's winning the NFL. Break it down.
Yeah, I like that. He's like, yeah, you know, we cleaned it up. We weren't that great, but we won against a Hall of Fame quarterback. I mean, come on. I love that guy. I loved him when he walked in the door. When he said, we're going to bite a kneecap off, and people like rolled their eyes. I loved the bite the kneecap off thing. That was all about it. That first year, they went 3 wins, 13 losses, and a tie. The next year, they started out 0-6. But then they went 8-2 on the back half of the year. To put them at 9-8. Last year, they improved to 12-5. Who knows what'll happen in the next 16 games? But I'm happy. I'm happy for them. Let's see. Hey, it's Eric Zane here to tell you about my new favorite marketing partner, Mint Mobile. For the longest time, we've been paying way too much for our cell phone service, our plans, whatever it is, mobile device, whatever you want to call it. Every so often, they like put the screws to you just a little bit at a time. You don't even notice. Next thing you know, you check out the bill. You're like, wait a minute. This is not what I decided to pay for. What has happened? Okay, forget all of that. You can skip it all right now. Everything is about to change for you. Mint Mobile is the key. With Mint Mobile, you'll never, never have to worry about gotchas ever again. That's what I'm talking about, where they slowly raise your prices that you pay. When Mint Mobile says $15 a month when you purchase a 3-month plan, they mean it. Say goodbye to your overpriced wireless plans, jaw-dropping monthly bills, and unexpected overages. Mint Mobile is premium wireless plans starting at just $15 a month. All the plans come with high-speed data and unlimited talk and text delivered on the nation's largest 5G network. You're like, EZ, tell me more. This is all you do. I did this. All my family has done this. And you should too. To get the new customer offer and your new 3-month premium wireless plan for just $15 a month, go to mintmobile.com/Zane. That's good anywhere. mintmobile.com/Zane. Cut your wireless bill from whatever ridiculous amount that you're paying each month to $15 a month. mintmobile.com/Zane. Pay attention to this legalese. $45 upfront payment. That is equivalent to the $15 a month for 3 months. New customers on first 3-month plan only. Speeds slower, 40 gigs on unlimited plan. Don't even worry about that. I use that and it's no big deal. Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions apply. See Mint Mobile for details.
Ohio football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown, and he throws an awesome block so his teammate can score instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you another chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scorer scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. Everyone knows the most exciting part of football is the score. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you have a chance to keep the fun going even after the first player crosses the goal line. Plus, you can enjoy second chance all season long. Place a first TD scorer wager today. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. And sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/redcircle.
Joe Martinez says, didn't I tell you last year that they would have a meltdown? If you mean meltdown, you mean one half of football away from the Super Bowl? Well, then I guess you're right, Joe. I mean, you got me there. I don't know how much of a meltdown it is to lose the NFC Championship game. I wouldn't describe that as a meltdown. I would just describe that as they fucking lost to a better team. So there's that. A meltdown would be what I saw in Ann Arbor last week. You know, when the number 9 team in the nation completely fell apart in every aspect of a football game. That might be more of a meltdown. Wenji, that would be Ben Weller, says to Joe Martinez, a meltdown, Joe, is your attempt at smack talk. Yeah, I don't know, man. I don't think you have a home field advantage here, Joe Martinez. Good luck this weekend against Central Arkansas University State A&D ointment. Okay. I'll take the points, you know. All right. So that's how we start off this show. As always, as I indicated, this studio brought to you by our friends at Impact Power Sports. I'd also like to thank Blue Frost IT. How about them? Longtime sponsor for over 5 years. We just hit the 5-year mark with Blue Frost IT. If you need any type of tech help in and around your residence, your home, or your business, I want you to consider Blue Frost IT, 616-200-8550. They are awesome. Kuiper Tree Care, online at kuipertreecare.com. Here's what they do. Tree removal, tree pruning, land clearing, storm cleanup, stump grinding, tree risk assessment. All of those things at Kuiper Tree Care. Great group. If you want to reach out to them, the easiest way is to either go to KuiperTreeCare.com, and that's K-U-I-P-E-R, KuiperTreeCare.com, or just give them a phone call, 616-828-8225, 616-828-8225. Reach out today to Kuiper Tree Care. Good crew. That's another one of my sponsors where it's super important that you reach out to them, because what I did was we traded. They cut down the tree for me and ground the stump. They did a great job. And I said, I'm going to give you 3 months advertising. How's that sound? He says, that's good. I go, now, if it works, you got to sign back up. They said, you're right, EZ. We do. So throw me a bone, won't you? Call Kuiper Tree Care for any of the services that I just talked about. Uh, Donut Dan says, remember the good old days, App State against Michigan. Oh, Lloyd Carr, that poor guy. Joe says, Joe brings up, what program has the most wins in history? Oh, Michigan Wolverines, they're incredible. They're incredible. Over the years. They've been around a long time. But just a humiliating loss Saturday at home. My God. All those famous people on hand like Derek Jeter. James Earl Jones was there. Okay. He was there. He's in perfect health, 93 years old. He's the one that actually introduced the team. James Earl Jones, he went to Michigan. And he said, I'm so happy to be here. And then he went ahead, James Earl Jones, and he went home after the loss. He was so upset. And I was just checking out an article that he said that the loss was so humiliating that he doesn't think he can survive that. It was so unfortunate and such a desperate performance by them. He was so disgusted, James Earl Jones. Becca, see, she knows the story. He was so upset he died. He actually wrote that. He wrote, ladies and gentlemen, I'm so despondent. I don't think my sweet soul can take this. And so, essentially, Maureen, she hit the nail right on the head there. They killed a national treasure. It was James Earl Jones Day at Michigan Stadium. Now, good thing James Earl Jones wasn't there at the game because he left after. He had to get home. The crowd started chanting, fuck James Earl Jones over and over again. And I don't know why they did that. I think that that's a horrible thing that the Michigan fans did. Joe Martinez says, no, he wasn't there. He did the voiceover. This is how dumb people are. No, he was actually there. I saw it on TV. For those that were actually in attendance, you didn't get to actually see what was on TV, but he was there. He had a Michigan pennant and a foam finger. And he's like, hey, ladies and gentlemen, Michigan Wolverines, here they come. And then that horrible performance caused his death. Very, very sad. The passing of James Earl Jones, by the way, at 93 years old. And Corey writes, he was Mufasa in The Lion King as well. I know he was in a lot of great roles. Darth Vader, Mufasa, he was in Coming to America, Field of Dreams. Don't forget The Sandlot. He was the blind guy. He got hit in the head with a pitch, and he went blind. And remember the kid was so scared of the beast? And finally, the kid goes there to get the ball, and James Earl Jones says, come on in, kid. Was amazing. One thing I didn't know about James Earl Jones was he's in his late 30s, early 40s, and George Lucas reached out to him. He says, look, you've got a set of pipes. Do you want to play Darth Vader? And he said, yeah, I'll do that. But Lucas said, I got a guy who's going to be in the suit. And James Earl Jones is like, well, thank God, because I didn't want to be in the stupid suit. So the interesting thing, though, is the guy who played Vader is a dude named David Prowse. He's dead now. He died not that long ago. And as the story goes, Prowse does not know that his voice is not going to be featured in the film. So he learns all the lines because it was important that he learn the lines so that the other stars of the film could interact with him. In fact, I have a clip of David Prowse from the movie somewhere here. My shit's kind of fucked up today. I thought, hold on, give me a second. God damn it. I have a feeling I'm going to wreck everything today. No, I don't have a clip. Fuck it. Of Prowse in the film. And so he's like, he sounds like shit. They go to the premiere of the movie. David Prowse goes there with all of his friends and family. And he's sitting there, and the movie starts, and Vader comes out, and it's James Earl Jones' voice. And he's like, what the fuck? Lucas never told him. And I'm like, how the fuck is that possible? I mean, you would have thought that he would at least tip them off. Hey, I know you've been excited about this. But unfortunately, I'm not going to have you, your actual voice in the movie. Prowse is furious. But he wasn't so furious that he quit. Like, he kept playing the part of Vader. But then it became known that when he knew that, whenever the subsequent movies were made, at times he wouldn't even bother to learn the lines because he knew that all he had to do was do all the gestures, and that's all that they really needed to. So as he was making the film, like, he's standing in front of Carrie Fisher or the Emperor or something like that, and he's saying nonsense, gibberish. And I thought to myself, that would be a great fucking gig to actually have a I don't give a fuck attitude. And just be sitting there, yeah, hey, go fuck yourself. Ah, yes, the power of the Force can suck my dick. And just carrying on like that. And then doing all that shit. And then they have to interact with them. Now, I don't know how much of that is actually true, you know. But I want to believe that it's all true. Corey says, in Empire Strikes Back, he was told to say, Obi-Wan killed your father, instead of I am your father. So he didn't even know the plot twist. I don't know how much of that is actually true. Okay. But I actually had in my possession some clips of him actually acting. But I think it's going to be one of those days where, like, I think I'm ready to do the show, but not exactly. I want to get into, since we're talking about, we talked a little bit about football. I didn't cover this yesterday. I probably should have. Probably the best receiver in the NFL right now is Tyreek Hill. Now, Hill is kind of a fucking idiot, but not exactly in this video right here. He's kind of put his past behind him, I guess, just because of time. But when he played with Kansas City, they went ahead and cut him because of something awful that happened. There was some domestic violence that he was accused of. He was accused of breaking his kid's arm. And there's audio of him saying some really horrible things to his significant other at the time, like very threatening and pretty intense shit. And so, yeah, actually accused of injuring, like, this fucking toddler. Now, ultimately, I think nothing really came of it. One of those deals. I don't know if it was a case of money got him out of trouble, but still, it's a pretty ugly thing. So, you know, he goes off to Miami, kind of damaged goods off the field, but really, really great on the field. Well, we all know that if you're an athlete, it doesn't matter what the fuck you do, because if you can perform on the field, nobody will give a fuck. That is what's up with Tyreek Hill. Now, I just wanted to throw that out there. Now, what happened to him over the weekend? on the way to the football game for the Dolphins. Doesn't have anything to do with that. And I think that 100% these cops are fucked up. Now, I don't know if you know this, but if a cop were to come up to your window and say, hey, roll down the window, and you said no, you're allowed to do that. Now, I would never have the nerve to do this, okay? I watch these videos from a spot on YouTube called Audit the Audit, and it's just dash cam videos of people who get pulled over, and then they ask questions to the cops, and then end up getting in arguments with the cops, and a lot of times winning the argument. Like, for example, a guy will get pulled over. There was one where a guy drove by the cops, and as he was driving by, on his own dash cam, the guy goes, fuck the police. So the cop pulls him over. And long story short, the guy says, why did you pull me over? And the cop says, he didn't really have a reason. And he says, you can't say fuck the police. And the guy says, well, yes, I can. And I have the U.S. Constitution to make that possible. Go fuck yourself. And so the motorist ends up winning that. Now, I would never, ever want to say fuck the police to the police. Nor would I ever. I'm that type. Okay. I don't have the wisdom, the wit, or the cool head to do anything if I get pulled over other than yes, sir, no, sir, yes, ma'am, no, ma'am, and pee a little. That's what I would do if I get pulled over. I'm going to tell you right now, if a cop says, roll down your window, I'm going to roll down the fucking window. If a cop says, let me see your hands, I'm going to let him see my hands or her see my hands. I don't fuck with them in any way, shape, or form. Let me see your ID. You got it. Here you go. So there's that. Tyreek, on the other hand, is not nearly as compliant for whatever reason. And I don't think he has to be. That's the thing. If I had the nerve, I wouldn't have to. Tyreek's got the nerve. So he's driving down the street in something expensive, and he gets pulled over. And I think these cops are in trouble. And the cops know it's Tyreek Hill. And so this is pretty much everything that happened in that exchange with Tyreek Hill before the game. Okay, so Hill has the window down, gives him the ID. He says, why don't you have your seatbelt on? I can't make out what he's saying back to the cop. Tyreek says, do what you got to do, and then he rolls up the window. Cop says, keep your window down.
Hey, keep your window down. Keep your window down. I'm going to get you out of the car.
Okay, Tyreek opened it a little. Keep your window down or I'm going to get you out of the car.
As a matter of fact, get out of the car.
Give me that.
Get out of the car.
Give me that. I'm going to break that freaking window.
Get out of the car.
Get out. I'm going to break the window.
Get out of the car right now. We're not playing this game. Get out. Get out. Get out. Get out. Get out. Get out.
Hey, now they're beating him down.
What part of that don't you understand? Hey, Drew, I'm getting arrested, Drew.
Now, he's talking to Drew. I wonder if that's Drew Rosenhaus, super agent to all the best players in the NFL. I'm getting arrested, Drew.
Hey, Drew, I'm getting arrested, Drew. I'm getting arrested. I'm getting arrested, Drew. I'm getting out, bro. God damn, twin.
Okay, now after this happened, he was released, and he had like an awesome game. He had like an 80-yard touchdown reception.
When we tell you to do something, you do it.
I'm getting
you understand?
Out. I'm getting out.
You understand? Not what you want, but what we tell you.
I'm getting
you're
out.
A little fucking confused.
I'm getting out, bro.
Too late. Chill,
bro.
Too late.
All right, bro, take me to jail, bro. Do what you gotta do, bro.
We are. We will.
Good, bro.
It is good.
Hey, Drew, hey.
Don't worry about it. I hung up the phone. Can you
stop crying.
Bruh, y'all.
Don't move.
Good. Bruh, you beating on my window like you crazy.
Just set him up.
Why y'all beating on my window like y'all crazy for?
Now look, if cops don't understand that, generally, our black citizens kind of have a bit of a mistrust for cops. I think you got to kind of take that into consideration, don't you? I mean, what's with the power trip? You're pulling over the best player in the league. You know it's him. Forgot to mention that you could hear one of them say, "That's Tyreek. That's Tyreek." What the fuck is going on here?
Yo, bro. Bro. Dude, beating on my window like he crazy. I ain't do nothing, twin.
Boy, he is jacked. That dude is jacked.
Hey, don't park there. Don't park there.
Okay, now the guy that just pulled up, they said, "Don't park there." That is a friend or teammate. I don't know who it is, but that comes into play.
Hey.
That is a sweet car.
Hold on, bro. I just had surgery on my knee.
Okay, so now they tell him to sit on the curb, and they force him down on the ground.
Hey, bro. I just had surgery on my knee, bro.
I just had surgery in your ears when we go there.
Chill, bro. Hey, Joe New, bro.
Call Drew.
God, these cops are crazy. Now they're yelling at the guy who just pulled up.
Call Drew, bro.
By the way, motorcycle cops kind of look ridiculous. I keep feeling like I'm watching a fucking Chips.
Call Drew, bro.
Okay, so now this is the body camera of the guy who pulled up, his interaction with the with these fucking cops.
What am I doing that's wrong?
Hey, listen.
Hey, listen. Hey, man, they got Tyreek. Hey. The cops over here beating on him, man. They over here beating on Tyreek, man.
Listen, big man, don't park there, man. Just get in the car.
Hey, Drew, you got to come, man.
Just get in the car.
Right off the side, on the side of the...
Hey, get in the car. You're parked in the middle of the street.
These dudes are just ignoring that cop.
I'm in the car.
He goes, "I'm in the car."
Where are you gonna take it?
I'm in the car.
Who's the driver? This is my car.
All right, cop number two shows up, and he's ready to kick some ass.
Hey, move! All
right,
you gotta move right now.
Let me have your license. You're gonna have a ticket too.
I'm coming.
Let me have your license. Let me have your license.
I'm leaving.
I'm not playing. Let me have your license.
I'm leaving. Yo, what's
your
going
license
on?
Right now.
Your license.
See, now this is where I would go. Yes, officer. This guy's not. He's not having it.
Right now. You're not gonna give me your license.
I'm leaving.
Let me have your license.
See, now when I watch the audit, I don't think it's legal for a cop to say, "Identify yourself. Give me your name. Give me your license. I want to know who you are." I don't think they can do that. But, I mean, who am I?
License right now, sir.
I'm leaving, or I'm gonna lock you up. He just told me to
your leave. License right now.
Sir, just,
you're dealing with me now.
Sir,
your license
sir.
Right now.
Right, then I think he gave him his license, and that's where it ends. I think the cops are in trouble on this. Donut Dan is a cop. He writes, "When he was asked to keep the window down, he did not do it. Anyone else, white or black, would have been arrested for interfering in a police investigation." Okay. Benji says not true. Well, I mean, I don't know. Dan, in your experience, 20 plus years as a cop in the community, what stands out to you as something wrong with that? Because most people are saying what Kenny says, fuck those cops. Kenny also says, "This is blown way out of proportion here, and I'll bet it's because he was black." You know, I don't know if it means anything, but I don't think those cops were white. I think those were Hispanic cops. I'm pretty sure I heard that in their inflection. They spoke English with a Spanish with a Latino accent, you know. Dan says it is legal if he parked the car on the street. Okay, there you go. And was asked to move the car and get back into the car and move. Then he can ask for his ID. IMKO says they are Hispanic with hand tats and presumably two full sleeves. Very becoming of an officer. Now, wait a minute. You can't go and judge the cops because they've got tattoos on their hands. Are you telling me that if a cop has tattoos on his hands, he is a bad human being, a bad cop? I don't understand that. So I don't think race has anything to do with what's going on here. I just think that you've got a cop that is like, hey, I told you to do something and he didn't do it. And then it gets fucking intense. That's what I think is going on here. Dan writes, of course, in his estimation, as the professional here, the entire thing sucks. If you comply with what you're asked to do, it would have been a big nothing deal. And he would have been sent down the road, I think. All right, if that's you, though, let's say he rolls the window up. Are you going to ask him to roll the window down? And if he doesn't, are you going to escalate it? I don't think, Dan, you can say, okay, I'm giving you a task. You have to decide. And you can't say the whole thing sucks. You have to pick a side here. Who was the most wrong in this scenario? My vote is that the pigs, the cops, were more wrong than Tyreek Hill. So you must choose. You can't say both sides. Only a pussy would say both sides. Pick one. Joe says, Joe Martinez says something in Spanish. Lo puercos? I don't know how to say that. Tyler says his windows look like they were tinted, and I'm guessing in any traffic stop, they would be concerned about not being able to see if he was grabbing for a gun or something. And that pissed them off and started the escalation. Yeah, I know, but it's they also are aware it's Tyreek Hill. Dan says the same thing. You do not know who you're dealing with. The windows were tinted. And as such, you can't see what he is doing with his hands. How many cops are shot that way? He wasn't going to get fucking shot. Quit it. Best player in the NFL, going to the goddamn game. The cops know it. Like, hey, it's Tyreek Hill. Oh, all right. Come on now. Dan says that maybe they really didn't know who it was. No, don't give me that. You could hear in the clip. You couldn't hear it when I played it, but I heard it. I heard the one guy say, that's Tyreek. They know who it was. Look, you can't say both. The only reason why you're saying that is because you are a former oinker. Okay, that's what it is. That's what's going on here. You are bacon. And so you're siding with the cops and being a dick. You're going to have to admit that too. I don't accept that. Tyler writes, we all know football players would never kill anyone. Exactly. Chris wrote, the pigs had to establish their dominance over the rich football player. You know, as insulting as that sounds, I know I said it too, but come on, I'm kidding. But that's what's going on there. That's what is happening there. I believe Chris hit the nail on the head. Chris writes, let's bring in Jason Schaefer for the old segment Back to Blue with Jason and Andrea and see what they think. Ugh. Are those two even alive anymore? I don't, my God, I wouldn't be surprised if someone's going to do a well check after about 5 years and find them in a stranglehold on each, on like each other, like skeletons. Donut Dan says, I thought the guy in the car said that is T. Hill and not an officer. No. One guy said Tariq. Now, Chris writes, yeah, then you can ask Jason, ask who Jason beat to get fired. Yeah, I don't know that. I don't know that that's true. I think that's conjecture and all alleged. I cannot support that crack. All we know is that at one point, our pal Jason, who listens, by the way, was an officer of the law until he wasn't. And then he became, like, there's a couple of malls, and he ended up being a mall security guard. And, I mean, that's about the same thing, right? Kenny, who's close pals with Jason, says, I know one thing for sure. Not a single person here would say shit to Jason's face. Oh, I would. Absolutely. What's he going to do? Beat me up or something? Come on now. Kenny says, he's a good dude. I don't give a fuck what any of you say. Well, I'm glad you feel that way. I think he has a poor choice. I think whether he's good or not remains to be seen. I think that his choice in women is poor. That's what I think. All right. Kenny had dinner with him. And then, now, Kenny, when you went out, when they visited you in Nashville, was there an orgy after? I know that it was you and Melinda and Andrea and Jason and Tessica. Did you guys get together for like, you know, whatever, a daisy chain or anything like that? All right, that is Act One of the podcast. Act Two is available right after this one. Go check it out. What are you doing? Don't miss a second of it. Thank you so much.
Ohio football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown, and he throws an awesome block so his teammate can score instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you another chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scorer scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. Everyone knows the most exciting part of football is the score. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you have a chance to keep the fun going even after the first player crosses the goal line. Plus, you can enjoy second chance all season long. Place a first TD scorer wager today. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.